God. Well, how many, I don't know about you, is anybody else Christmas kind of one of your favorite times of the year? Amen. Christmas and Easter, that's my two favorites. It's when Jesus was born, and we celebrate in Easter when he died on the cross for us, which is why he came to this earth in the first place. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I got a good word today, and I think you're going to like it. You better like it. But before I get into that, let me just mention this. I mean, Brent did just a marvelous job really talking about the fasting. One thing I want to mention about the fasting, that we have 21 days of fasting to start the year from the 2nd to the 23rd. And what that is, it's not even, if you're like, oh my gosh, there's no way I could do without something for 21 days. Well, maybe for you it's not a 21 days. But what we do is when we say 21 days, it's just 21 days that we have that we say, maybe you can give up. Just ask the Lord what he would have you to fast. But maybe it's not having to do without steak for 21 days. Maybe it's, I'm just going to take a moment in those 3 weeks, somewhere in that in each week. Maybe it's 1 day a week. Maybe it's 2 days a week. Maybe it's 3 days a week. So for us, it's really a 21, what would you call it? A 21-day range of fasting. Not that you necessarily have to. Some people do fast for 21 days, and that's fine. But for others, and you got to don't go gung ho. I'm going 21 days, and you get about to day 3, and like, oh, this really sucks. And then you break your fast, and then you feel really bad that you broke your fast, and then it's all this kind of stuff. Just in this 21 days, to say, Lord, what would you have me do? See, I'm not here to tell you what you need to fast. I'm not even here to tell you how long you need to fast. It is not a sin if you don't even fast. Fasting is really about just saying, we do this at the beginning of the year, because fasting is about saying, like Brent said, I want to start my year off with God. I want to start my year off sharpening my edge for God, getting my heart in tune with him so I can hear him more clearly as we start this new year. So that's really what fasting is all about. Right? And I fast every Sunday morning. I don't fast Sunday afternoon. I go home and eat lunch. But I fast every Sunday morning. In other words, what? I don't allow myself to eat anything before I minister. Why? Because I want to hear God more clearly. And I want my flesh to know I'm in control of you. You're not in control of me. That's one of the big things about fasting, is it's letting your flesh know that, hey, no, you don't tell me what I'm going to do. Me being the spirit part of me, I'm going to tell you what you're going to do, right? That's what fasting is really about. Not letting your flesh dominate you, but allowing the spirit of God and your spirit within you that is growing in God to dictate to the flesh. No, I don't do things on your schedule. You do it on mine. Does that make sense? All right, amen. Hallelujah. All right, well, let's get into this. This is going to be just a tremendous word. I am going to, the title of today's message is Good News of Great Joy. Good news of great joy. I've actually taught this message. I didn't realize it when I was looking at my notes. I've taught this for the last 2 Christmases. But as I look back on my notes, I'm like, it's interesting because it's the same title, but each one of them has a little bit different aspect. It has a little bit different flavor for each one of them. So it's not the same message. It just happens to be the same title. So, but anyway, it's going to be good nonetheless. Amen? All right, so let's look at Matthew chapter 2. This is the Christmas season, so we're going to talk about the Christmas story today. This is the Sunday before Christmas. Amen? And so we're just going to have a good time with it. All right, good news of great joy. That's what makes Jesus so much different than every other religious thing in the world. Is Jesus is good news of great joy. And there's reasons for that, and we'll talk about those reasons here in just a little bit. But in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1, starting in the New Living Translation, it says this: Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is this newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." Right? So here we are. So here's these wise men. They've gone through this whole thing with Herod. Herod's like, hey, you know, because he's kind of freaked out about it because he wants to be the king of the world. And here comes, they're talking about this new king. Well, that's intimidating to him. He's threatened by it. And so he tries to trick them and say, okay, I'll tell you later on, you could read the story. But he says, hey, I tell you what, when you go find him, come back and let me know where he is so I can come and worship him too. That was not his motive. His ulterior motive was, I want to find this little king that they're talking about, and I'm going to kill this king because I will not be threatened by any other king, right? And so as the story goes, you know, they get down there, they find Jesus, and they worship and all this kind of stuff. And then the Lord prompted them to go home another way and not go back to Herod. Well, Herod, once he realized that they had outsmarted him and they were onto his plan, you know, then he got really mad. And then the Holy Spirit comes to Joseph, which was Jesus' dad. A stepfather, I guess, because God was his dad. How many believe that part of it? How many believe that God was Jesus' dad? The Bible says, and we talked about it last week. That's why I didn't really mention it too much. But last week we were talking about how the Holy Spirit came up on Mary. An angel came to her and says, so you're going to be impregnated and you're going to bear a son and you shall call his name Jesus. And she goes, she just wants to know, how is this going to happen? Because I haven't been with a man. I haven't been intimate with no guy. I haven't done anything. You know what I'm saying? All right? And she probably didn't say it like that, but that's just my vernacular. But the angel told him, says, so what's going to happen? The Holy Spirit's going to come up on you and impregnate you. And you're going to bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Amen. And then 9 months later, or over time, that's what happened in the 9 months after she got impregnated. She birthed this little boy named Jesus. And she was supernaturally impregnated by the Holy Spirit. That's why he's the son of God, not the son of Joseph. Amen. See, do you believe that? Yeah. See, the life of Jesus started supernaturally. I mean, people, how could somebody do all these supernatural things? Well, his life started supernaturally. His mom was impregnated supernaturally. I mean, she had a visitation of an angel. That's supernatural, right? All these things, we talked about some of those things last week. But so here they are, and they're going through that whole ordeal with Herod. Well, let's jump down to verse 9. It says, and you can read all that stuff later about, I just basically just told you the rest of what I'm not going to read, but let's pick it up in verse 9 to save time. It says, after this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. See, that's supernatural in and of itself. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place, the star did. The star went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, the Bible says they were filled with joy. They were filled with joy. The New King James in that verse 10 says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. You know, we just wrapped up a series here recently about living the victorious life. I mean, we kind of stopped that series, but I'm still talking about it. Right? Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. They were exceedingly joyful. Look at what it says in the Amplified. In the Amplified, it says, when they saw the star, they were thrilled with ecstatic joy. Ecstatic joy. Amen? It was a joyful moment. Why was this moment so joyful? Because they knew that the Savior had been born into the earth and he was coming so he could redeem all of our sin. We were no longer going to have to be subject to the bondages of Satan and the enemy. We don't have to be dominated by him anymore. This new Savior has come in. He has saved us from our sin. He has made us the very righteousness of God. That is great. That is good news of great joy. That is the greatest news you will ever. Christmas, it's a season of gift giving. God sees that Christmas started because God gave his greatest gift to humanity. And that gift was Jesus Christ himself. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? But I love that Amplified version. It says, when they saw the star, they were filled with ecstatic joy. Amplified Classic. My bad. Yeah, Amplified Classic. I don't know what he. Yeah, okay. It's the Amplified Classic. AMPC. It's a different version of it. But it says they were filled with ecstatic joy. So here's the deal. If you're trusting Jesus, we've been talking a lot about trusting Jesus and trusting the Lord, trusting God, and not trusting just in yourself, the arm of your own self, you know, your own abilities, your own strengths, you know. But if you are truly trusting in God, joy will always be present. Say that again. If you're really trusting God, you're not trusting God if you're down in the muddy grubs. Well, I just believe the Bible, but, well, I believe God's helping me, but then you're not really trusting God. Because if you're trusting, if you ask me to come help you, and I say, yeah, I'm coming to help you. And you, hey, you guys need some help? Anybody ever seen that or done that? You've been maybe on the side of the world broken down, and you called and got somebody's coming to help you. As soon as you found out somebody was on their way to help you, it made you feel a little bit better, didn't it? You're no longer stranded. Right? Then somebody else comes along and says, hey, you need some help? Oh, no, I'm good. Thank you so much. I guess somebody's on their way. Right? Well, if you believe that God's on his way, you believe God's helping you, why not be joyful? I ain't got to worry about this problem. God's got it. God's taking care of this. Amen? He sent the Holy Spirit, and he called him the helper. Amen? Hallelujah, I love that. So if you're truly trusting Jesus, joy will always be present. If you catch yourself in a moment where you're kind of getting down and you're kind of fearful and you're discouraged and I just don't know if I'm going to be able to get out of this situation, then that's a big indicator in your faith mobile. You know, Batman has a mobile. Faith people have a mobile, right? So you look at the instrument panel on your faith mobile, and if your joy meter is way down here and maybe your grumbling meter is like over in the red, right? Your faith mobile has a joy meter, and that joy meter needs to be over here in the red. Why? It says they were ecstatically joyful. They were people of great joy, and when you truly trust in God, joy will always be present. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm trusting God, but butts can be a little stinky. Right? So you got to be careful with the butts. Now, there are good butts. But God, who is rich in his mercy. Amen. Amen. But God, when a situation comes up, you need to be able to look at that situation and go, no, but God. Oh, there's no way you're going to pay your house payment this month. But God. There's no way you're going to overcome this sickness, but God. But God, who is rich in his mercy. Hallelujah, God's got me. He's going to take care of me. But when you start going, you know, I know God's word says that, but I know the preacher said that, but I know Jesus did all that to help me, but then now you know your joy meter is getting way down. You want to get that joy meter back up. We're going to talk about how to do that. Amen? All right, so let's go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, hallelujah. Let's look at verse 8. Hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8, it says this, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby. What night? The night he was born. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. Why? Because it was kind of a weird, different occurrence. But the angel reassured them, don't be afraid. See, you know when God's talking to you, because he's always telling, I mean, how many times have we read over the last couple of weeks, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. God's not wanting you in fear. God does not do things to intimidate us. God does not do things to put us in fear, like a horror fear, afraid of him. True enough, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, that fear is a reverence, an awe, a respect, an honor of God. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. If you know Jesus, if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have nothing to be afraid of. Because God is a good God. The Bible says he is good and does only good. Now, if you don't know Jesus, if you've never accepted Jesus, you have plenty to be afraid of, because there is a heaven to gain and a hell to stay away from. Amen. But if you got Jesus in your life, you're on your way to heaven, you have no problems, because God's going to take care of you. Amen. As you continue to trust him. Amen. Hallelujah. So he says here, so don't be, but the angel reassured them, don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. Serving God should be, well, let me say it this way. Serving God is a joy. It is a joy. It is an absolute joy to serve God. Now, maybe if you have accepted Christ, but you're not really experiencing any joy, maybe you're not truly serving God that way. Maybe you've got your foot in the door, but you're not reaping of any of the benefits. The Bible tells us in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. David's talking to himself. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul. He's talking to himself. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Says it twice. Bless the Lord, O my... sometimes you got to speak to yourself twice. Sometimes when you're not feeling like super excited about life and everything, sometimes you just need to kind of keep preaching to yourself. The Bible says David had to, when that whole army came and the Amalekites came and attacked Ziklag, and they took all their wives, their children, the possessions, everything they had, the men spoke of stoning him. The Bible says David had to get away by himself and encourage himself in the Lord. Sometimes we got to do that. See, and joy is that supernatural ability that God puts on the inside of us that helps us to say, God's got this when it looks like he doesn't. It's that supernatural ability. It's that supernatural fruit of the Spirit that God develops in us that helps us to go, it doesn't matter what it looks like, baby. God's got this. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what the job looks like. It doesn't matter what the doctor's report is. It doesn't matter how I'm feeling right now. I believe God's got it. See, we always talk about how you're not to be led by your feelings. We're not saying that feelings don't exist. Oh, baby, they exist, right? We've all got them. We all feel them from time to time. You may feel like God's not coming through, but you've got to know God's always working behind the scenes for you. And you put your trust in God. You put your trust in it, not in the doctor's report, not in the mechanic's report. Come on. Not in the whatever other report, not in the economy of this world. Oh, the economy's so bad. Put your trust in God, because his economy is doing great. His economy is doing, we're going to hear a lot more about that this year. Come on, his economy is doing great. We need to quit looking at the American economy and the world economy and go, oh my gosh, everything's going to hell in a handbasket. I ain't going to hell in a handbasket. Hopefully you're not. Right? Come on, God's got this. God is my source and my supply. He is the source of my joy. He is the source of my love. He is the source of my peace. He is the source of my wallet. He is the source of my body. He's the source of my health, my peace. Amen. He's the source of it all. See, we keep our eyes fixed on him, don't we? Amen. And as you keep your eyes fixed on him, he's going to help us. So here's the question. How do we get, keep, and live in this amazing joy? Because it says that he was good news of great joy. So how do we get this joy? How do we keep this joy? And how do we live in it? Amen. You ready? You ready for the answer to that? All right. Well, I'm going to start giving you the answer. I may not be able to finish it this week, but I'm going to start giving you the answer. Right? Over in John chapter 15, let's flip over there. John chapter 15. Hallelujah. Glory to God. John chapter 15, Jesus himself, it's red letters. That means Jesus is speaking. Red letters. I mean, does your Bible have red letters? Come on, that's everywhere that there's red letters, that's in your Bible. That's where Jesus is speaking. Not all Bibles have the red letters, but mine does. Those are other people that should have made Jesus' words in red. Okay, that makes it easier. Okay, watch this. Jesus said this in John, well, in the very beginning, he starts talking about, I am the grapevine, you know, my father is a vine dresser and all this kind of stuff, and he talks about all that. You can go back and read all that, but let's pick it up in verse 9. Well, let's just start. You don't have to look it up, Bill. I'm just going to read this real quick. Verse 5, it says, yes, I am the vine. You are the branches, those who remain in me. Everybody say, remain in me.
Remain.
Right? Remain in me. And I in them. Say, I in me. Or he in me. Say it that way. Okay? So I'm going to remain in him, and he's going to remain in me. I kind of botched that a little bit. That's all right. He says, listen, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing, right? And he goes on down there in verse 7. He says, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you, say, remain in me. And his words remains in me. Come on. So I'm going to remain in him and he's going to remain in me, right? So there's remain. When you remain somewhere, there's a consistency. It's another word for dwelling. This is where I'm going to live. That's why I said, how do we get, keep, and live in this amazing, ecstatic joy? Did you know it's possible? It's very possible to have such a joy every day when you get up. When you put your hope in God, and it's strictly in God. You're not trusting in your own self. You can get up. You don't have to get up on Monday morning dreading going to work. Oh, man, I remember the mess that I left. Now I got to go back to it. Come on, when you've got the joy of the Lord in you, you know how God's going to show me how to deal with this mess. He's going to show me how to deal with this situation. I know it was kind of rough. It was tough last week. But, man, God, you know, I remember when I used to work in the secular field, and I worked in a travel trailer factory, and there was days that I had months that I drudged going to work till I finally realized, wait a minute, I can get up and I can say, Lord, you're going to help me today. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to help me. I have the Holy Spirit in me. You're going to help me to know what to do, when to do it, who to have help me. You're going to answer every question I need. You're going to help me get through this. And when I began to look at it like that, instead of looking at the problem that I was walking into, see, when you look at the problem, all you get is more of the problem. But when I began to look at, Lord, no, you're going to help me. Yeah, I'm not ignoring. I'm not sticking my hand in. Oh, we have no problems. No, I didn't say that. No, we definitely had issues. But when I began to ask the Lord to help me, then I would walk into it, and all of a sudden, he would just begin to give me ideas. Do this, move this here, move that there. Do it this way, do it. And man, things began to just go come together like a puzzle. It's amazing when you begin to ask the Lord and put your trust in him. Well, when you know you can do that, then going to work can be a joy. I didn't say that every job was going to automatically become a bowl of peaches. If you like peaches, maybe you don't like, maybe you think it's peaches because you hate peaches. I don't know. But I didn't. I'm not saying that everything's just going to be beautiful from this day forward. No, everything's not always beautiful unless you've got Jesus and you know that Jesus is going to help you, then it's beautiful because it's like, hey, another opportunity to solve another problem. Amen. This is going to be a piece of cake. God's got this. All right, let's look at verse 9. He says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Wait a minute. He's talking about joy, and now we're switching over to love? Watch this, because they're connected. You can't have the joy of the Lord in your heart without knowing something about the love of God. The love of God is paramount for us to walk in joy. In fact, over in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, it starts talking about this list of what we call the fruit of the Spirit. And it says love, joy, peace, patience, da-da-da, and goes on down the line. And the Holy Spirit never puts anything in the Bible by just happenstance or just by accident. I believe everything that's in the Bible is worded the way it's worded for a reason. And now watch this. You can't have joy without love. Love is the first one that the Holy Spirit wants to develop in you. Why? Because love is paramount for you to have joy. If you don't believe that God loves you, you don't get a revelation of God's love for you, then how are you going to be able to stand believing that God's going to take care of your situations? See, love is required to walk in joy. Watch this. Joy is required for you to walk in peace. If you have no joy, you don't have that. You've not allowed the Lord to develop that joy in you that says, no, devil, you're a liar. Nope, God's got this. I ain't worried about it. Then how are you going to possibly have peace? You can't have peace if you don't know anything about the love of God and if you don't know anything about joy. And patient endurance, or what the Bible calls long-suffering, or patient endurance, there's no way you can patiently endure if you have no peace. Peace gives you the ability to go, I'm not concerned about how long it's taking. God's going to do it. Amen. So love produces joy. Joy produces peace. Peace produces patient endurance and on down the line. Amen? You see that? Do you see what I'm saying? Hallelujah. I had to throw that out. That was my last series. I thought I would connect them. All right. But he goes on to say this. This is amazing. He says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. Dwell in my love. Live in my love. Live in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and I remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. See there? Love, joy, it's connected. See, there's the connector right there. He says, I have told you these things. I mean, Jesus wants us to live in joy, but he knows you can't live in joy unless you live in love. Love is so important. Your love walk matters. Your love walk affects every aspect of the rest of the fruit of the Spirit. It affects every area of your life. Amen. And your life would be so much happier if you would just learn how to walk in his love. Because his love is so paramount, right? So he says, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Your joy will overflow. Why? How do we get to where that joy just overflows? Did you know God is an overflowing God? Remember in Psalm 23, he says, my cup runneth over. Some people call that wasteful. God calls it abundance. Jesus says, I have come that you would have life and life more abundantly. The Amplified says, I have come that you would have life to the full till it overflows. Why? Because anything that overflows affects the area around it. God wants us to overflow in his love. He wants us to overflow with joy. Why? Because he wants that love to affect everyone around us. He wants that joy to affect everyone around us. He wants you to overflow with peace because he wants your peace to minister to those that are around you. God is a God of overflow. God's not concerned about, I don't want to give them too much joy. That would be wasteful. I don't want to give them too much peace, just enough to get them through without going crazy. I just want to keep them from the edge of tears. No, God wants you in an abundance of love, in an abundance of joy, in an abundance of peace, in an abundance of patient endurance, in an abundance of faith, in an abundance of goodness, in an abundance of self-control. Amen. See, I just took you through the fruit of the Spirit right there. See, God wants us to have an abundance of these things. And Jesus says here that love, remaining in his love, is what helps us. I taught you all these things so that you would be filled with my joy. Good news of great joy. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let me share one more thing, and then I think I'm going to wrap this up. Over in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32, in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32, it says this. It says, think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful even though it meant terrible suffering? See, people think being persecuted for being a believer today is that they're just like, oh my gosh, they made fun of me. Oh my gosh, they called me names. These people went through some serious persecution for standing for their faith. Amen. I mean, we are like Ned and the first reader when it compares to what they went through. Amen. What we go through sometimes is like see, spot, run compared to what they went through. I mean, it's just like we're, you know, sometimes Americans can be big babies, you know, when it comes to, oh, they made fun of me because I'm a Christian. Well, that, you know, did you know that was actually supposed to happen? Jesus told you in the Bible, it says, in the world, you're going to be persecuted. Yep. See, we need to quit taking it as a badge of pain and take it as a badge of honor. Right? Because if the enemy is having people attack you, if the enemy is having people attack you because you're standing for Christ and in his love, then it's a badge of honor. Amen. Now, if you're getting attacked because you're being foolish and, you know, and they're just attacking you because you're not doing a good job on your job and you're being lazy and whatever, then, okay, that you're not being persecuted for Christ's sake. So be a good worker, right? Be a good student, things like that. But if you're being, if people are attacking you because you're bold about your faith, or because you're just trying to let them know that Jesus loves them, they want to attack you for that, take it as a badge of honor. Jesus said that was going to happen, right? All right. Boy, that's such a joyful message. Okay. All right, let me give you some more. Watch this. So think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful even though it meant terrible suffering? Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten. And sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same things. While you were beaten, they could have thrown that in there. While you're being persecuted, while they were being persecuted and being beaten for their faith, they were actually helping others that were being treated the same way. Verse 34, you suffered along with those who were thrown into jail. And when all you owned was taken away from you, watch this, you accepted it with joy. See, they had such a joy that it's like, you know what? Who cares? You took that, God can replace that tenfold. God can replace that a hundredfold. God can replace that a thousandfold. Why? Because they knew that inside themselves, they had something on the inside. They knew that in themselves that they had a better and enduring substance because they had God. So they weren't concerned about what they way they were treated. They were or what may have been taken away from them because they knew God can restore it. What does it take to walk that way? Joy. Good news of great joy. Hallelujah. Jesus came and the Bible says he was good news of great joy. Amen. But let's remember, how do we get that joy? How do we get that joy? By remaining in his love. Remaining in his love. Don't let anyone for a second make you think that God doesn't love you. Because he does love you. And then when you get that revelation of how much God loves you, also get the revelation how much he wants you to release that love. So the Bible tells us in Romans that at the day of our conversion, that the love of God was poured into us. At the day of our conversion, the day we made the decision, I'm going to live for Jesus. That supernatural love of God, the Greek word is agape. And that means an unconditional love. In other words, it's an ability to love not based on conditions. They can cuss you out, but you still love them. They can steal your car, you can still love them. Right? You can still forgive. Why? Because God can replace the car. Right? God can fix everything. But we got to allow that love to flow out of us. Good news of great joy. That joy comes by remaining in his love. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, why is it that they could accept with joy? Because they knew that there were better things waiting for them that would last forever. Here's another reason why. Over in Psalm 21, verse 3, in the New King James, it says, "For you meet him with the blessings of goodness. You meet him with the blessings of goodness. That word meet doesn't mean like, okay, I just happen to run and we happen to meet. Now, this is what that word meet means. It means, the Hebrew word for that word means this. It means to project, to precede, to anticipate. In other words, it's already waiting for you. Good things are already waiting for you. That's why they could accept what they was taken from them with joy, because they knew that God still had good stuff that was waiting for them. Amen? That's why we can have joy. But now here's the deal. If you're going to trust in yourself, and you're just going to trust in what the economy says, and you're just going to trust in what the doctor says or what the mechanic says or whatever anybody says, the Bible says this, whose report are you going to believe? I am going to believe this, and I'm still quoting, I am going to believe the report of the Lord. Amen. See, God is not governed by this world's governments. God's government is a government all of his own. In fact, it says that, talking about Jesus, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. He says the government of the kingdom will be upon his shoulders, and of his kingdom there is no end. Amen. This is all the good stuff that comes because we have Jesus. All right, let me share one more verse with you, and then we're going to be done. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1 in the Amplified, or maybe it's the Amplified Classic. It says this, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Eagerly pursue. So why am I talking about this? Because if we want joy, right? Everybody wants joy. We want that supernatural ability that God provides on the inside of us that helps us to stand in the face of whatever turmoil, whatever challenge, and be able to go, that's okay because God's got this. See, and that's world joy. You can have joy in the world, but it's a conditional. Your joy is based upon the condition. It's like, is all the ducks lined up in a row? Is everything going great for me? The world can have that kind of joy. But what the world can't have is when everything's going wrong, they have nothing to look to except themselves and the conditions of the world. But we as believers in Jesus Christ, when everything seems to be going wrong, we can look to God and go, no, Lord, you've got this. You're going to take care of it. You're going to help me to fix this. You're my healer. You're my provider. You're my peace. You're my joy. You're my helper. See, we've got something. That's why it's good news of great joy. Because we have someone to look to that helps us where people without God don't have that. But we want to let our light so shine before men that they see our good works and they will end up glorifying God. And it makes them want what we've got. Amen. But I love this. He says here in 1 Corinthians 14:1, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. That needs to be our great quest. In fact, it goes on to say, make it your aim, your great quest. That should be our quest in life. Above everything else is to seek the love of God, to learn about the love of God. Let's learn about his love for us and learn how we can, because he has poured his love into us, what if we begin to learn how we can take that love and release it? Remember, God is a God of overflow. So when he gives you something, he don't never give you just enough for you. He wants to, well, you may stop believing him once you've got enough for you. But God's desire is for you to have enough. He says, I want to bless you so you can be a blessing. See, God wants us to be like us. Well, if he's a blesser, then he wants us to be blessers. So God is a God of abundance. He's a God of overflow. He wants you to have every good. The Bible says in James 1:17 that every good and perfect gift comes down from God. Hallelujah. And he is not a God that he changes. He did it back then. He wants to do it today. Are we ready to receive His love? Are we ready to receive that joy, that peace? God wants us to have plenty, an abundance, an overflow of all these wonderful things. Amen? Amen. Do you believe that? Yep. Go ahead and stand up on your feet.